Title: Tonal Risers from Resampling from Scratch Without Third-Party Plugins Advanced. Alright, welcome back. This is an advanced Ableton Live sound design lesson for drum and bass, and we're building tonal risers from scratch using only stock devices. No third-party plugins, no sample packs doing the heavy lifting. The main idea is, we're not just making noise that goes up. We're designing pitch-controlled tension that lives in the key of the track, fits 8 or 16 bar phrasing, and then we're going to resample it early, so we can treat it like real audio material and shape it into multiple usable variations. Before we touch a synth, quick mindset shift. A good tonal riser has a destination. It's not upwards, it's arriving somewhere meaningful. In D&B, that arrival note choice changes the emotion massively. If you rise to the root, like 0 to plus 12 semitones, it feels inevitable and clean. If you rise to the fifth, 0 to plus 7, it's tenser and darker, less festal, more rolling. And if you rise to the minor 7th, 0 to plus 10, you get that urgent, slightly ominous pull into the drop. Pick that destination now, because everything else we automate is going to be shaped around that arrival. Let's set the session up in a real D&B context. Set your tempo to 172 to 176 BPM. I'll sit at 174. Choose a key. I'll use F minor as an example. Create a new MIDI track called Riser Source. Create a new audio track called Riser Print. For routing, I want you to be clean about it. On Riser Print, set audio from to Riser Source, and choose Post FX. That way you can print exactly what you're hearing from the source chain, with all the effects, without accidentally capturing the whole mix. Now, build the core tonal source. We'll start with Wavetable. Drop Wavetable on Riser Source. Oscillator 1. Basic shapes, and choose saw or a bright shape close to a saw. We want harmonics so the filter has something to reveal. Leave oscillator 2 off for now. Simpler is better at the start. Set unison to 2 to 4 voices, with amount around 20 to 35%. You're not trying to make a trance super saw. You're just giving the sound a bit of width and hair so it doesn't feel like a test tone. Turn on the filter in Wavetable. Choose low pass 24. Set the cutoff somewhere around 200 to 400 HC for now. Yes, that's dark. That's the point. We're going to open it. Add a bit of filter drive, like 2 to 6 dB, because that makes the opening feel more aggressive later. Now the amp envelope. You can do this a few ways, but here's a reliable starting point. Attack 50 to 200 milliseconds so it doesn't click. Decay around 1.5 to 3 seconds. Sustain very low or all the way down, depending on whether you want it to fade inside the clip or be mostly controlled by the clip length. Release 200 to 600 milliseconds so tails don't chop. Now create a 16-bar MIDI clip. One note. Keep it simple. Put it on F1 or F2 depending on your track's register. If your track is heavy and sub-focused, F1 might be too close to the bass region, so F2 can keep it out of the sub-lane. We'll still high-pass later, but starting sensible helps. Keep velocity consistent, something like 100, so automation reads cleanly. Now we make it rise, and this is the part where people usually mess up by doing only one automation lane. Pitch only is boring. Filter only is okay but not tonal tension. We'll do pitch, filter opening, and harmonic intensity. First, pitch rise. You can do pitch bend automation in the clip, or automate Wavetable's transpose. I prefer automating transpose because it's consistent even if you duplicate clips later. Decide your target. For dark D&B, try 0 to plus 7 semitones over the 16 bars. That fifth rise is money. If you want it more dramatic and clean, go 0 to plus 12. Now draw the curve like a human, not like a math graph. Here's the trick. Perceived acceleration. Make the first half move slowly, then let it pick up in the last four bars, and in the final bar, add a micro surge, a little panic jump. In Ableton automation lanes, use 3 to 5 breakpoints. The last 10 to 15% should noticeably steepen. That's where the listener starts to brace for impact. Second, filter opening. Automate the filter cutoff from that dark 200-ish zone up to 8 to 12 kHz over the phrase. But here's a coaching note. Brightness should read early, or people don't even notice the riser is building. So you can open the filter a bit faster in the early bars to establish movement, then control it near the end so it doesn't just turn into harsh fizz. Also, automate filter drive up a bit near the final bars, like plus 2 to 4 dB. Not the whole time. Save it for the end. Third, saturation as energy automation. Drop saturator after Wavetable. Set it to analog clip. Turn soft clip on. Automate drive from maybe 2 dB at the start to 8, 10, even 12 dB toward the end. But discipline. Compensate output. If the only thing increasing is loudness, you're not building tension, You're just stealing headroom. Adjust the output so your perceived loudness doesn't explode. The goal is intensity and density, not volume. Now we add movement. This is the difference between a riser that sounds like a plugin preset and a riser that sounds like it belongs in a modern roller or neuro build. Add auto filter after saturator. Set auto filter to bandpass, 12 dB. Set resonance around 0.6 to 1.2. Turn on the LFO. Choose a rate around 1/8 or 1/4. In DNB, 1/8 often feels like it's breathing with the grid. Keep amount subtle, 5 to 15%. You want motion, not a wobble bass. If there's a phase setting, try 180 degrees to get a wider, swirling feel. And here's an advanced move for the last bar, panic flutter. Automate the LFO rate faster at the end. For example, shift from 1/8 toward 1/16 in the final bar. If the device doesn't morph smoothly, don't fight it. We'll resample and do it in two passes later. Now add utility after auto filter. This is your width and gain discipline. Set width around 120 to 160%, but don't go wide just because you can. Wide risers are cool, but they can collapse in mono or smear the drop. If your live version has bass mono, set it around 120 to 200 Hz. And keep headroom. Aim peaks around minus 10 to minus 6 dB before printing. You're going to process more later. Next, space. This is where you give it size without wrecking clarity. Add hybrid reverb after utility. Set it to convolution plus algorithm, or just algorithm if you want it cleaner. Decay around 3 to 8 seconds. Longer isn't always better, it just gets messy faster at 174 BPM. Pre-delay 10 to 30 milliseconds so the dry tone stays present. High cut around 6 to 10 kHz to keep it dark and not fight cymbals. Low cut 150 to 300 hz so you're not fogging up the low mids. Set mix around 10 to 25% at the start. Then automate hybrid reverb mix up toward the end. Maybe 10% to 30%, but an even more pro way, keep mix moderate and automate decay upward only in the final quarter of the phrase. That makes the space feel like it's expanding right before the drop. Optional, but extremely DNB. Add echo after hybrid reverb. Set time to 1/8 dotted or 1/4. Feedback 15 to 35%. Filter it, high pass around 250 Hz, low pass around 6 to 8 kHz. A little modulation. Just enough to smear, then automate feedback rising slightly in the last two bars so it spirals into the drop. Cool! Now we do the thing that makes this lesson different. We commit to audio early. Go to riser print. Confirm audio from his riser source. Post FX. Arm riser print. Record the whole 16 bars, plus at least two extra bars so the reverb and echo tail can breathe. When you stop recording, consolidate it into one clean chunk. Command or Control J. Now, warping, because warping is sound design here, not just timing. For tonal content, try Complex Pro. Keep formants around 0 to 40, and envelope around 80 to 128. For gray, edgy stuff, try tones or texture. If you use texture, set grain size around 20 to 60 and flux 10 to 30. And do tiny fades in and out to avoid clicks. Now we're in the resample design stage. This is where you generate a toolkit, not just one riser. Duplicate the printed audio clip three times, and we'll create three variants. Variant 1. The reverse riser into impact. Take the duplicate, reverse it. Now it sucks into the drop instead of rising into it. Classic trick, if you want a massive reverse tail, print extra reverb tail first, then reverse the whole thing so the tail becomes the build. That's how you get that vacuum pull effect without extra plugins. Variant 2. The resedge layer. On a duplicate of your printed riser, add EQ 8 first, high pass it around 120 to 250 Hz. This is important. Most tonal risers should not be living in the sub region in DNB, because that space belongs to kick and sub at the drop. If it needs bite, add a small boost around 1 to 3 kHz. Don't overdo it. We want aggression, not harshness. Then add amp. Choose rock or heavy. Keep gain low to moderate. You're trying to add grain and edge while keeping pitch identity. Optional. Add redux subtly. Downsample just a little, like 2 to 6, and minimal bit reduction. You want texture, not Nintendo. Variant 3. Vocalish formant creep. This is where you make it sound modern and unsettling, but still tonal. Put auto filter in bandpass mode, resonance around 1.2 to 1.8, and automate the frequency like it's scanning through vowel shapes. Then add frequency shifter. Set it very subtle, either freak shift mode at plus 5 to plus 30 Hz, or a tiny bit of ring mod if you like that metallic throat vibe, but keep it restrained. Automate the amount slightly so it feels alive, like it's breathing or wobbling in a creepy way. If you want to go fully advanced with Formant without special plugins, build a little Formant bank rack. Make an audio effect rack with three chains, low Formant bandpass around 250 to 500 HE, resonance about 1.2, mid Formant bandpass around 800 to 1.5 kHz, resonance about 1.2, high Formant bandpass around 2 to 4 kHz, resonance about 1.0. After each filter, add a Q8 and do gentle shaping, small boosts, not huge. Map the three filter frequencies to one macro called scan, with different ranges per band, and automate that scan. Slow at first, faster near the end. This gives you a vowel-like movement that stays anchored to your tonal center. Now, let's talk phrasing, because even a perfect riser sounds wrong if it's placed wrong. Most DNB risers are 8 or 16 bars, landing exactly on the phrase boundary, the drop, the switch, or the breakdown. Here's a classic 16-bar build structure that just works. Bars 1 through 8, the tonal riser is low-passed, restrained, mostly mid, and relatively narrow. You're setting the mood. Bars 9 through 12, start widening, introduce echo movement, more modulation. Bars 13 through 15, distortion increases, filter opens faster, more urgency. Bar 16, cut the lows, push the space, then do a hard stop right before the drop. That moment of silence sells the impact. And here's a drop transition trick that hits way harder than people expect. Automate utility width down to near mono in the last quarter bar, like 0 to 50% width. Then snap back to normal stereo at the drop. That contrast makes the drop feel wider and louder even if you changed nothing else. Now, a 30-second mix discipline checkpoint that will save you hours. After printing, temporarily put a limiter on the master, only for checking. Toggle your riser on and off. If the low end or low mids shift when the riser comes in, you're masking the drop. Don't just turn it down. Fix it properly. High pass the riser layer. Use EQ to clear 200 to 500 if it's foggy. Use width discipline. Keep the core tonal layer more mid-focused, and let noisy character layers provide width. If you want the cleanest possible pre-drop cut, do the clickless hard stop. Consolidate the riser audio, then put a microscopic fade out right before the cut, like 2 to 8 milliseconds. It still feels like a guillotine, but you don't get that nasty click. This audio version is shortened for playback.